If you will fill that out and then put it in the offering plate as it comes by, we would greatly appreciate that. Several announcements for you this morning. If your child is going to Children's Mission Day on November the 11th, I need $15 from you by this Wednesday, please. Trunk or Treat will be next Sunday. We're so excited about that. Please note that there will not be a meal for Trunk or Treat, so just so you know. And then also, if you would like to decorate a trunk, you can still sign up in the atrium. The sign-up sheet is out there. And if you would like to bring candy, individually wrapped candies, you can do that as well and drop them off in the small kitchen. Please make sure to check the bulletin board beside the church office to verify that your information is correct that we have. That will be taken down after next Sunday. So we need to make sure that we get that done so that we can have the correct information for you. Let's see. Don't forget Budget Catch-Up Sunday will be October the 29th, which is next Sunday. We have an updated figure of $6,347 that is needed to catch us up for the budget. And then also, all members of FSYC, please try to attend today's practice so that we can catch up and be ready for homecoming Sunday in 2 weeks, okay? Just want to update you on our prayer list that we have, and please just make sure to keep track of that as well and look at that and be praying for all of those that are mentioned on the prayer list. But just want to bring to your attention, Joanne Thomas is at Westfield Rehab. And like I said, we just ask that you continue praying for everyone who is on that list. Now we just ask that you turn your hearts and minds towards worship. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be able to gather in your house this morning to worship you. May our praises raise high and our thanksgivings be heartfelt. We offer this time of worship to you now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Would you turn to hymn number 191 and stand as we sing, please?
Thank you. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day to come into your house and hear your word. All I ask that you might be with those that are sick, need your healing hands. Be with the families that have lost loved ones. Father, we ask that you might bless these tithes, these offerings, so that we might further your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Praise God. Standing, turn to number 193. We're going to do first, third, and fifth on this song.
Jesus, take God to be Lord of the virgin, dwells among Well, good morning. How is everybody this morning? Good. I'm glad to hear that. Well, I brought a picture this morning, and this is a picture of me from a very long time ago. Okay? Ready? You see? You see? It's a baby. That's me as a baby. Can you believe I was ever that small? I can't. Yeah. So that's me as a baby. And a lot of times when new babies are born, some of you have brothers and sisters, and so you know this, but when a new baby is born, parents will send out a birth announcement, and it'll have information on there about them. So this would be my birth announcement, okay? So my name was Taylor Suzanne Smith, okay? I was a girl, obviously. Birth date and time, September the 9th, 1990. So old. And I was born at 1:12 in the morning. I like to stay up late, so that makes sense. And then weight, I weighed 8 pounds, and I was 22 inches long. Wow, right? Well, in the Bible, did you know that God told the people that Jesus was coming way before he was born? Did you know that? In Jeremiah chapter 33, it says this: "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah." The promise is Jesus, okay? It says, "In those days at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteous Savior." And so in that, they're talking about Jesus. Jesus was coming to save everyone from their sins by the sacrifice that he was going to make on the cross. And so God knew that long before Jesus was sent to the earth. He knew that he was going to send him, and that he was going to fulfill that promise, and that it was going to be good. So as Christian people, we can be so thankful, and we can tell people about Jesus and what he did for us, okay? Let's say a prayer together. God, we thank you so much for Jesus, and that he came and to save us from our sins, and that he was part of God's plan long before many knew it, but that God told them he was part of that plan. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
My sin was great, your love was great. 2 Peter 3:8 through 14. Dear friends, don't ignore this fact. One day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. The Lord isn't slow to do what he promised, as some people think. Rather, he is patient for your sake.
He doesn't want to destroy anyone, but he wants all people to have an opportunity to turn to him and change the way that they think and act. One day, the Lord will come like a thief. On that day, heaven will pass with a roaring sound. Everything that makes up the universe will burn and be destroyed.
The earth and everything that people have done on it will be exposed. All these things will be destroyed in this way. So think of the kind of holy and godly lives you must live as you look forward to the day of God and eagerly wait for it to come.
When that day comes, heaven will be on fire and will be destroyed. Everything that makes up the universe will burn and melt.
But we look forward to what God has promised, a new heaven and a new earth, a place where everything that has God's approval lives.
Therefore, dear friends, with this to look forward to, make every effort to have him you at peace without spiritual stains or blemishes.
Thank you, Hannah and Kendall. Pray. Heavenly Father, we have gathered together as the congregation of Flat Springs Baptist Church . We have gathered here because we need to gather. Someone here needs to be encouraged. Someone needs to be challenged. We've gathered here because it's hard living in this world. There are booby traps all around us that could explode this Thursday, and our world could change. There are catastrophes, Lord. We don't know what the headlines will be talking about next Sunday or right now. We live in a world that is contaminated with violence and sin. A time of wars and rumors of war. We need to gather in your presence to touch base, to become grounded, to make those little changes and maybe some big ones. We might be your people in the midst of all your people. That we might be the salt and light we talked about last week. That we might be those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, who desire mercy, who seek peace, who mourn sin, who are persecuted, and yet we remain humble and meek. We come because we're tired. We come, Lord, today because maybe if we're honest, we've neglected the more important things. And we know if you don't help us snap out of it, we'll do it again next week. And we don't want to do it again next week. We come because we're tempted. We come because we fail. We come because we are sinners. Yes, we've been saved by grace if we've accepted you as our Lord and Savior. But still, Lord, here we are, sinners. Maybe, Lord, today there's someone here who doesn't know you
in the pardon and forgiveness of their sins. We're here today in your presence. God, would you see us now walk in the very chambers of our spirit to the door? May we see you standing just outside. You've knocked already. Oh, what a beautiful name it is. And we know you're there. The question in worship is, will we open the door? Our prayer and our worship, they're in that beautiful name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
And the people said, amen. Thank you for that old rugged cross. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Ben and Peyton, for that beautiful name. That beautiful name. Our hymn of decision at the end of our worship today is going to be page 203. His name is wonderful. And I just remembered I got my phone on me. Y'all got your ringer cut off? I usually leave mine in the office, but you know what would happen, right? If I didn't do this. I feel better right now. Okay. His name is wonderful is our closing hymn today. Well, guess where we're going to go? Matthew chapter 5. You're probably going to have to go buy a new Bible because the ridge is going to be so to open to this place. We're going to talk about rules and regulations today. Doesn't that sound exciting? Well, it is exciting. It is the fact that Christ has come to fulfill in us all that He has chosen to do and all that He intended to do. When a person writes a book, have you ever written a book? I don't know. I've never written one. I've thought about it, but I've never done it. But I'm just guessing, especially if it's a good novel with a spectacular and surprising ending, that possibly, more than likely, the author started with the end in mind. He knew how it was going to end, and so that helped him as he told the story, as he wrote the book, as he did it all. Well, I want to remind us today that what we're going to read is the reminder that God knows how this story ends. He knows when history will come to a conclusion. He knows when the earth shall no longer shine. And so he began with the end in mind. And Jesus was not an afterthought. He was not plan B. Before he ever got out the sawhorses to put the earth on to start building it into shape, he knew Jesus would come. It is with that Jesus, in the midst of this sermon, wanted to stop at this point after reminding us of all those qualities that we who are believers have in the Beatitudes, and then reminding us that we are the salt of the earth and that we are the light of the world. He gives us this clarity. It's found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of this portion of God's Word. Jesus is talking and he says, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until it is all accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of the commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless our righteousness, Flat Springs Baptist Church, exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter to the kingdom of heaven." A little bite to that last sentence, wasn't it? May God add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His most holy word. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, would you speak to us in these moments as you've already spoken in the first half of worship? We need to hear from you. We've opened the door, haven't we, to invite you in. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Have you ever spoken of the letter of the law rather than the spirit of the law? Like we all know that when the speed limit is 55 miles an hour, how fast are you really supposed to run? We all know, right? Isn't it a shame when those highway patrolmen don't know what we know? In ancient times, when you talked about the law and the prophets, you were talking about what we call the Old Testament. Never make the mistake if you go up to a Jew and talk about their writing as the Old Testament. That's not how they see it. That's how you and I see it. It was that word that God gave all the way back, really, to Abraham. It was filled out in Moses as he wrote down the law and as Israel made its way out of captivity into that embryonic nation that ultimately would become a world power in its day, the world power of its day. But then Israel began to backslide. And God sent prophets at various times to share with them. A proclamation is what the prophet did, to give the word of God, as it were, to tell them what God expected and what God desired and what was going to happen if they chose either A, to be obedient, or B, to be disobedient. But God's plan always, it always has been the same. That is to redeem mankind. When you read in Genesis 12:3, one of my favorite verses, when God calls Abraham, he's still Abram at this moment, and he calls him and he says, I'm going to make of you a great nation. And verse 3 says, and through you the whole world is going to be blessed. That's God's plan. The law was given in order to give the rules and the regulations to make our life close to God. Now, you might want to write down what I'm fixing to say. I think it's profound. You can tell me later. We're all as close to God as we want to be. The question is, are we as close to God as we need to be? I didn't see a person write that down. That's a powerful question. You're just as close to God. You're just as much in the walk of your faith as you want to be. Right now. But are we as close as we need to be? The law was there to help put us back to where we needed to be, to help us do the things that made it easy to be close to God. And the prophets, they simply detailed the law. Are there some changes we need to make today to be as close as we need to be? Now the rules aren't there to make life rough. In fact, there's some rules that are great. I found a whole list of rules that I love. How many of you know the rules of chocolate? I didn't write them. I got them off the internet, okay? I'm just telling. Not mine. But I like them. I bet you do too. Listen to this. If you've got melted chocolate all over your hands, you're eating too slowly. I didn't even know chocolate would melt in your hands. That's amazing to me. And I love this rule. Chocolate-covered raisins, cherries, orange slices, and strawberries, they all count as fruit, so you can have all of them you want. See, that's a good rule. Don't you like that rule? There's a rule to help you solve a problem. If you get 2 pounds of chocolate and you've got to put it in a hot car, you know what to do? You eat it in the parking lot. We've all done that before, right? Do you know what a box of white chocolate and dark chocolate and milk chocolate is? That's a balanced diet, don't you think? And chocolate has many preservatives. And preservatives make you look younger. Some of us need to be eating more chocolate, I'm telling you. And I like this last one. If you put eat chocolate at the top of your to-do list every day, at least you'll get one thing done every day that needs to be done. Oh, that's just silly, but rules. Why does God give us rules? They're to pull us closer to Him. When we look at what we've done in so many ways of breaking God's rules, is it any wonder our nation is in the mess it's in? And I hope you're not silly enough to think that there's a political solution to the problems of America, because it's a spiritual problem. It's not a political one. Do we think that maybe God's laws, they don't apply to us? Did you hear what Jesus said? He said, please don't think that I've come to abolish the law. That's not what I've come to do. I've come to fulfill the law. God understood that you and I, we were going to have trouble with these rules. We were going to have trouble with these laws. And He had a way to help us. We're not immune to those commitments. The problem throughout the church's land is folks have begun to take less seriously our call and our commitment to be God's people. We've become optional if it fits our schedule, if it's in our time frame, if that rule fits us. But if our circumstances are different, then we don't have to keep those rules. If things are challenging, if the culture's giving us a better option, we don't have to keep the rules of the Bible. I found a great definition of integrity. Might be another good thing for you to write down. Not my definition. It's keeping a commitment even after circumstances have changed. Keeping a commitment. You know that half of our marriages in America are still failing? And I know all kind of things can happen, but I want you to understand, and I'm not throwing rocks at anybody, but it's an integrity problem. When you stand at this altar or an altar like this and you promise till death do you part, be people of integrity. Young people, before you find that person that you're willing to stand here before God Almighty and say, I promise to love and to cherish this person in good times and bad times, no matter what happens, I'm going to be here for the long haul, till death do me part, then have the integrity. Because I want to tell you, circumstances will change. They will. Someone else said integrity is making sure the things you say and the things you do are in agreement. That's integrity. The laws help us to understand what integrity means. The prophetic plan of God has always been to bring us into that relationship with Him, but we have to be people of integrity. Oh, I want to tell you what I believe, and I believe it with all my heart, and I've told you before, and I tell you what, I'm probably going to tell you next Sunday and the Sunday after that, because that's how much I believe it. This world needs the church to be our best. It doesn't need a weak church. The world cannot survive if our weakness doesn't point the light and the salt. If we don't give them the way, the truth, and the life. If we don't take them to the door and show them who's standing outside and knocking. Not only is there a prophetic plan, but He tells us that there's a permanence about God's Word, and I love that permanence that He talks about. He tells us quite plainly, "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until it's all," and I love that word, "accomplished." It's all accomplished. It does what it was intended to do. It makes happen what God intended to happen. That's so important. God is permanent. We talk about Him being the same yesterday and today and forever. His faithfulness, it's overwhelming. His love is undeniable. His strength, it's dependable. Are you a fan? Now, I found out something amazing, and maybe I just haven't surfed enough. I told you I've cut the cord, right? Y'all know what that means. TV-wise, I got an antenna. Y'all pray for me, okay? I've got an antenna. That's what I got. But I got YouTube. I'm making out okay with YouTube, okay? But I found out you can't watch playoffs on baseball. Now, I'm hoping, I guess they're going to put the World Series on a network that my antenna will work on, I'm guessing. But I my cord's been cut. Did the Braves make it to the playoffs this year? They didn't? Oh, okay. Houston and New York, I want you to know I'm not that far out of things. I understand. Are you a fan? You a fan of baseball? Are you a fan of football? I started to think, well, maybe I should talk about Carolina fans. And I figured y'all would laugh. Basketball's coming. And then I thought, well, I could talk about state. And I thought, well, some of them other folks. Well, I want to be politically correct. So I made up a team. And I made up a sport. Now, this is all original with me, okay? I'm impressed with it. I hope you are. Okay, I'm giving you a warning. You need to be impressed with what's fixing to come. It's the Siberian Lumberjack team that are good at cross-cut saws, cutting down trees in record times. And this team is made up by a group of Russian attorneys. Their nickname is the Sawyer Lawyers. Oh, y'all could do better than that. That was good. And if you're a fan of the Sawyer Lawyers, you've got a sweatshirt that you wear proudly. It says, "If you're in trouble and you're not free, call the guys who take down trees, the Sawyer Lawyer team." I thought it was better than that still. Anyway, I'm going to quit begging now. You know, if you're a fan, you wear shirts. You have cups. You have hats. You have bumper stickers. You take time to go and watch or listen to your team. His faithfulness is overwhelming. His love is undeniable. His strength is dependable. God's a fan of you. God's a fan of you. Are we a fan of God's? Are we fanatical about our God? Seriously, Jesus is calling us in this moment to examine that purpose. God wants to be family. He wants to be intimate with you. He wants to love you in such a way. That's what He began. You remember when He walked with Adam and Eve in the garden in the coolness of the day? That's what He wants. He wants to walk with you and talk with you along life's way. That was His plan from Adam and Eve. And Jesus made it possible. What's the problem? We know what the problem is. It's life. Life's the problem. Golly, it's busy. I don't know how folks used to work 90 hours a week. We work 40 hours a week now and don't have time to do anything. I've heard people say when they retired, they don't know how in the world they were able to hold down a job. They're so busy now they've retired, they just can't get it all done. Doesn't matter what kind of job you got, life is busy. But I want you to hear something. Satan has a sneaky way. Satan has a sneaky way of allowing busyness to become our God. He has an evil way of making good things into bad things when they get in the way of our walk with God. He has a way of allowing stresses at work or in our daily life with family to interfere with our intimacy with Him. When we try to do life and family and work and our daily walk in our own strength, can I be honest? We make a mess of things. We just make a mess of things. Looks good for a little while, but then suddenly we go too far. But if we try to do our life, and I said try, and our family, and our work, and our daily walk, out of the overflow of that relationship with God, try it. Try it. I heard someone say this week, would you commit for 30 days, 30 days, to read a passage of Scripture and to take one sheet of paper, just the front side, and write, journal is the word, just write down where you met God. What the person who said that said, the first day was a little hard. But they think that maybe the second day, they were looking a little harder because they knew how hard it was the first day. And the second day, it got easier. And by the fifth day, it had turned to 2 pages. And by the end of the 30 days, it had become several pages. Satan will rob us of our focus, of God at work, of God's plan, of God telling us that He wants to walk close with us. He still desires that relationship more than anything else. That's what he wants. That's what he desires. Just like being a fan, you either are or you aren't. I'm going to share with you something that's cute. It's not by me. It's better than my Sawyer Lawyers, I think, I guess. And I heard it this week, and I looked it up, and it's either Don Meyer or Luther Price. I'm trying to give credit where credit is due, and I'm not sure which one because I found different sources. Now, the English is terrible, and I'm glad none of my English teachers are here. But it's one of those profound statements, and maybe you'll remember it. The statement is, be what you is, not what you ain't. Because if you ain't what you is what you ain't. Let me do that again. Be what you is. What are you? Are you a fan? Not what you ain't. Because if you ain't what you is what you ain't. You and I are called by God's plan to be His children, mom and dad. We're to love Him like we love our parents. What's that final purpose of God? Jesus fulfilled it. He calls us to this righteousness. Did you see what He said? If our righteousness doesn't exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. Now, I want to tell you what. They knew how to wash their hands, how to wash each finger, how far up the elbow you had to go on certain days to be pure. They knew some stuff. But He says, that's not the kind of righteousness I need from you. I need you to be a fan and be what you is. I need you not to come on worship Sunday and sit there and say, yeah, that made good sense. Boy, I'm glad I heard that. I agree. Wow, that was great. Did you hear the choir?
What about those kids singing? Wasn't that fantastic? And then to walk out like we walked in. That's not what he wants. We know that, don't we? We know that. He wants this experience to be life-changing and transforming because he knows the challenges that are waiting for us Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and the decisions we make today can help us, can make us or break us when the circumstances change. The righteousness that he wants is that of relationship. You heard somebody say, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. That's amen. If God ain't happy, you and I aren't happy. If God's not happy with you today, oh, he loves you. Grace that is greater than all our sins. He loves us. We love mama even when she's not happy. Not a matter of love. It's a matter of choice, isn't it? It's a matter of choosing to be in relationship. Here's the fact. God knows what we is. Do we? Do we? Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest. Rest. Peace. Joy, fulfillment, relationship in me. The purpose of the law is better than the rules of chocolate. Are you a fan? We either is or we ain't. Today, as the Holy Spirit speaks, may we all become a fan. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in this moment of decision, we're going to sing about your wonderful name, but we're also going to sing about our relationship with you. And Lord, we want you to be happy with us. We want you to be happy with the decisions we're making, with the way we're living our life, with the way we're using our time, the way we're using all of our resources that you have blessed us with, that we might be in that intimate relationship of joy and peace and rest with you. And then we'll find our own fulfillment and our own peace in the midst of life's storms and changing circumstances. There's one who doesn't know you in the pardon and forgiveness of their sins. May today be their day. And if there's one of us that needs to come back to you, to re-up as a fan because we've slipped away or wandered away or just realized today we were away. But today we want to come back as you give us opportunity. May we be found faithful as you are faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Our hymn is page 203. His name is wonderful. This morning, if you need to make a decision for God, my goodness, and we all do, may we do so as we stand here.
Jesus, my Lord.
And now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace and in His power and in His abiding presence. That we might be His fanatical law-keeping people in the midst of all this. Would you pray with me? God, You have heard our spirit. We have opened the door. You have entered in. Now we invite You to the guest room of our spirit and encourage You, O God, to stay. As we leave this place, go with us in new ways that we might be Your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Peyton and Ben.